Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I am Murtaza. Well, in the program, The Teacher, we try to answer some of the major misconceptions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Salamu alaykum. In this episode, I want to answer another misconception of Islamic teachings. There is no freedom of speech in Islam. You know, as a Muslim, I have actually never felt in my life that my religion, Islam, curtailed my freedom of speech, unless I am to speak ill about others. I mean, if I am not going to harm someone's dignity or feeling, I have the full right to tell what I feel. But what is freedom of speech? It means actually the absence of restraint upon the ability of individuals or groups to communicate their ideas to others. And of course, it is subject to understanding that they do not actually in turn coerce others into listening, or that they do not actually invade other rights essential to be actually dignity of individuals. So freedom of speech must help to communicate ideas through words in order to reveal truth or to clarify and, of course, eliminate doubt. So this definition is very similar to the definition mentioned in the Holy Quran, the great book of Islam. Muslims have freedom of speech, and Islam does place obligations on Muslims which actually presupposes this right. And we know that evil speech and talks interferes with the discovery of the truth, and this violates the human dignity. So based on these justifications, restricting evil speech is going to be justifiable on the freedom of speech. And we know that Islam orders us as to the correct manner that how to exercise our freedom of speech. And freedom of speech must be exercised through correct concepts of advocating goods and advice actually against evil. So the religion, in particular, bans a person from criticizing in, for example, in just manner about other people and their faith, and at the same time promoting healthy debates within the religion and with other religions. So we should consider that our freedom of speech must not be to hurt the sentiments of others, and the freedom of speech actually must be to tell the truth boldly and not just actually to pierce our words into the heart of others. So even from another point of view, reacting to those people with physical or even emotional violence as a retaliation is prohibited by Islam. So we can simply understand that freedom of speech is considered essential and necessary in the religion of Islam. And I think religion of Islam is not opposed to freedom of speech, but of course in the true sense of this term. And Islam has historically supported both direct and indirect modes of social participation. Sheikh Hamza Yusuf talks about freedom of speech.
So I want to talk a little bit here about the idea of freedom of speech, because certainly in the West, this is one of our most cherished rights, is the right to freedom of speech. I will guarantee to you, I've been all over the world, literally, I've lived in many different places. Freedom of speech exists all over the world. People speak very freely. In fact, in some places, they speak far more freely about things than they do in the United States. But there are two areas in many places that people are not free to talk about. One of them is religion, and the other is politics. But we also have certain laws that prevent certain types of speech. And we know that you cannot shout fire in a crowded theater. Oliver Wendell Holmes. We also have the Brandenburg Standard. If there's a clear and imminent danger in speech that incites to hatred, the Brandenburg versus Ohio case. And there are other cases like this that test the limits of freedom of speech. Unfortunately, we have now people, insignificant people, really, and I would say, and you know, everybody's significant in their own way, but I'm talking about people that, you know, really, it's quite stunning that somebody, you know, who lives in a house with wheels and has a car in the front that has no wheels, and he's able to literally create riots on the other side of the planet, who has a church with 15 people, right? Half of them are his own family, and the other half are friends, that really can affect global situations. I mean, this is really extraordinary. The internet, right? Really, I mean, I call email evil mail because it causes so much problem. Now we have to have these little happy faces just to make sure people know that I'm not being offensive, right? I mean, this is the type of world we're in. There's no nuances. People can't speak anymore freely. Everybody's afraid, right? So, you know, we have to think about incitement to hatred and what that means and being realistic about it. Nobody argues that Germany is not a free society, but they have a law there that prohibits denial of the Holocaust. There's a law that prohibits denial of Holocaust. There are laws in certain countries. In fact, in Denmark, there are not laws denying the Holocaust. And one of the things that I tried to point out, one of the nuances in the Arab world, when I was there, because I was interviewed during that time, I went to the Arab world. What I tried to point out was when the Danish people said they supported, because the Arab newspapers would say 80% of the Danish support the cartoons. They didn't support the cartoons, they supported the right of the person. In fact, most of the Danish people were actually offended by the cartoons. And so these are the nuances that get lost in these things. Unfortunately, we had a presidential candidate say, we should never apologize for American values, supporting the film. People hear that in the Arab world, and they say, it's an American value to denigrate our religious sensitivities. He was obviously saying speech, freedom of speech. But the point is, as Americans, do we really want to say it is an American value to denigrate other people's faiths, other people's beliefs? We can criticize those beliefs, write intellectual tomes about why Islam is not a true religion. There are many books like that, and nobody gets upset. Muslims don't get upset. You can write all you want of why you don't think the Prophet Muhammad is a prophet, but to mock, to denigrate, to make fun of somebody who's dearer to the hearts of the Muslims, and this includes Jesus. The Muslims feel the same way about Jesus or about Moses. About any of these prophets. Really. This is where we have to ask ourselves, is this the type of society we want? We have risen above racial denigration in this country, in the public space. If you denigrate somebody racially in the public space, you will lose your job. You will lose your job. There are consequences to saying kike, to saying mick, to saying spick, to saying nigger. All of these things have consequences. Why? Because we recognize that people have sensitivities. No, but what the problem is, we don't recognize that for believers, when you die, you lose your racial identity. But when you die, you maintain your religious identity. This is how the Muslims understand it. The Prophet Muhammad never, never, ever attacked any ambassador. In fact, when a false prophet sent his ambassadors, he actually honored them and sent them back. He never denigrated ambassadors.
Who is the Love One?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha illallah.
محمد رسول الله
لا إله إلا الله
محمد رسول الله
الله الله أكبر.
Welcome back to the program. We all know that absolute freedom of speech is impossible even today. For example, in all Western countries, there are laws regulating freedom of speech. Take this for instance. If I am a racist, there are things that I cannot do and cannot say without breaking the law. As an example of this, I can point to the French law, which criminalizes the act of challenging the factuality of the Holocaust. This actually should be open to discussion or debate, but France legislated that none would ever be able to challenge the preset validity of the event. They have actually an idea that how can a person take law on history? In the West, there are things you can actually say and others that you actually cannot say. And in order to know your freedom is to understand the scope of your freedom. So it means that absolute religion, which sometimes actually ends in insulting others, is absolutely and socially rejected. So Islam does not recognize absolute freedom of speech, as it would actually entail that every individual could, in all impunity, inflict harm onto others. Of course, just in the name of freedom of speech. Because we know that it is going to bring negative impacts on other people. So this restriction and limitation of freedom of speech is highly recognizable in the modern world. I believe from the Islamic point of view, we have to actually differentiate between the legal and moral system. When I say moral system, I believe in good behavior, because there are some things that are legal and some things that are actually ethical, and not everything which is legal will be ethical and vice versa. So what does that mean? It means that actually there are billions of us today who promote freedom of speech. At the same time, we are avoiding and neglecting those people who are just parasites in the society, and they are actually using their tongue just to sting other people. So snide remarks and sarcasm and etc. and etc. We cannot call them freedom of speech. They are absolute insult. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher. We hope you enjoyed it. Do not forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com. Until another episode, goodbye.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Thank you. La ilaha illallah.